Okay, so today is Tuesday, October 31st, 2017. My name is Kirby Fenwick and I'm joined today by Angela Pipos. We'll be discussing the first game of the inaugural AFLW season between Carlton and Collingwood, which was played on Friday, February 3rd, 2017. Thank you for being a part of this project.
Thanks for having me on.
Let's start with a little bit of background. Can you tell me what role football has played in your life?
Wow, football has played a huge role in my life. It all started when I was 8 years old and I was watching the grand final in the SANFL between Norwood and Sturt. And I was born into a Norwood family. We were down by, I think it was about 32 points at three-quarter time, and then remarkably went on this goal run in the final quarter and got up by a point. I'd seen my first ever comeback. Downside of that is that it made me believe in sport and in, and it's a cross I now bear. So whenever my team or any of my teams are trailing with a quarter to go, I believe they can still win. And I guess you're better off being a believer than a non-believer. But that was the beginning, 1978, and I don't know how many games of football I've been to since then. Lots, I'll just say lots. So I was a Norwood fan. And I still am a Norwood fan, but then when the Crows were born in 1991, I got on board, and it's been quite a ride, really. And, you know, sport's good for preparing you for life because you experience the whole range of emotions, and that's what footy's done, you know. It's been in my family's blood. I've certainly got the gene, and, you know, I'm hoping I'll pass it on to my son.
And what about women's football? Had you had much to do with women's football or known much about it prior to the AFLW?
Not really. You know, I knew it was happening, and I knew women like Debbie Lee and Peter Searle. I'd met them around the traps before, but I didn't go to women's footy. I didn't go to club footy. I didn't know too much about the standard of it. So I wasn't really close to it, but I knew there was interest in the sport and that there was, you know, a movement that was starting. I knew about the pressure that had been applied to the AFL to do something about it and to start up a national elite women's competition. So I knew there were things happening. I knew about the day that Susan Alberti turned up to a lunch and you know, parted with a cheque of $25,000 and from that moment became a financial supporter of women's footy. And so I knew about key moments in the history, 1970s and 1980s. But really, it wasn't until AFLW was born, well, Gil McLachlan decided to bring the competition forward 3 years, that I really started to take an interest in it. Because it was about more than football, it then became a movement, you know, a political movement, if you like. So that was, you know, had a lot of appeal to me, and it just ticked all the boxes. You know, I'm about the big picture, and I'm, you know, changing attitudes about women and changing attitudes about women in sport. So AFLW was just perfect for me, and, you know, I'm well and truly on board. And in fact, I think I love it even more than I imagined I would. It's really been this force in my life. I can't get enough of it, really. So, you know, I'm really happy. I'm happy my club has an AFLW team. That makes it really easy. And I'm just enjoying the social change that's coming with the competition. It's fantastic.
So can you tell me how you felt when the competition was officially announced back in I think it was June 2016? How did you feel?
Well, I was delighted, and I did know a few players who were getting on in their careers. And so I was also delighted for them. I knew about Meg Hutchins and a couple of others, and I thought, this is perfect. Bring the competition forward, and these women who have worked really hard to be respected in their chosen sport now get an opportunity to play it at the highest level. So I was over the moon. And I also enjoyed watching a man show some courage as well, because, you know, most of our decision makers in sport are men, and, you know, the easy option is to not do anything and just sit back and wait, you know, wait for things to happen organically. And we all know waiting for things to happen organically can take a long time, you know, so we wouldn't have the vote if we waited for things to happen organically. So I enjoyed watching Gil McLachlan make this bold declaration, and he did it without any support from those around him, around that mahogany boardroom table. It was him. He had a feeling, a hunch that society was ready and that there would be enough grassroots support for this. And, you know, he's proven to be right, hasn't he? So, look, it was a wonderful moment to hear him, as he puts it, run ahead of the commission to make the decision. And, you know, it will be part of his legacy. I'd suggest that it will be his legacy, this AFLW, and that's great.
Let's go to that first game. When did you decide to go to that first game?
Well, I was already making a documentary. We hadn't really started the documentary, but my business partner, Nicole Minchin, and I had a firm idea we wanted to document it. But at that stage, we didn't have a broadcaster attached to our fabulous idea. So we went along hoping it was going to be magnificent. But we weren't filming. We just thought we'd go and look, and if our project idea got off the ground, we would go grovelling to get the vision from Channel 7 and Fox Sports. So we went along, and I had to MC the official function that night. So I was surrounded by the most magnificent group of women who worked hard for this to happen and who pushed for equality in football long before it was fashionable to do so. So I was feeling emotional, you know, before I even got to the ground, and then there I was standing addressing this group of people. So I knew that there were going to be tears that night, and probably, you know, before the match even started. So we were going along. I enjoyed the discussion around moving the match from Olympic Park Oval to Prince's Park. That was great. That made me feel like, woohoo, this is really happening, and it's happening in a big way. And take that, doubters. So I enjoyed that. And look, it was an emotional night. It was an important night. It meant more than football to me and many others. And it will go down in my history of covering sport as one of the greatest moments for me at a sporting contest. You know, from emceeing the function, hanging around with women who were pioneers, who were the trailblazers in women's football, and then standing out there and hearing the siren to start the match, and watching it was truly magnificent. And I'm just pleased that I was there to, you know, so a number of others didn't get in the ground. I was just delighted that I was there, and it's a story that I can tell my son and probably every other person that I know about how great that night was.
You're certainly not alone in that storytelling, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That week leading up to that first game, there was a lot happening. Like you said, there was a lot of discussion around where it was being played, and then we seen it was moved to Icon Park. There was a lot of media happening too. What are your memories of that week leading up to the first game of the inaugural season?
You're right. There was a lot of media, and I guess because I wasn't working as an on-the-road journalist at that stage, I was already, you know, onto documentaries and freelancing. I didn't have to interview players and do doorstops. And I remember thinking at the time, wow, the lives of these women are about to change dramatically. And I really hope they have the support around them to cope with it, because they have gone from obscurity to the biggest show in town. So I remember thinking and talking about, you know, the coping mechanisms that would be needed to get through it all. Because, you know, unlike men who play football, you know, these women had to prove that they belonged. So prove to themselves, their club and society that they belong here. And as we know, there are always going to be those who don't want to see women thrive, have a real problem with women breaking down barriers, and they can be quite noisy. And in today's culture of social media, they can also get to you, they can get into your head. So I remember thinking all of that, I mean, oh gosh, you know, lives are going to change, and I hope these women are protected from a lot of that outside noise. I was sort of counting down to the day, and I was desperately keen to see how many people were going to turn up and how it was going to be covered by the media. You know, would it be front page news a few days before the match, afterwards? Would this momentum continue throughout the season? Like, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, it made such a splash, didn't it? I mean, it was just fabulous the way that these women were able to grab the headlines and, you know, be depicted doing what they do. It wasn't sexploited in any way. It was just like this fresh beginning for women's sport. And it sounds strange because we've had so many other great elite sportswomen, but this was in a field that had been denied to them. You know, women had played sporadically for 100 plus years, and we had the VFL women's competition, but it never got any coverage. There wasn't any respect. The women who played felt embarrassed and ashamed about it. Some of them couldn't tell their parents that they played. Like, there was all of that around it. And it seemed like on that opening night, women's football stepped out of the shadows, and it proudly stood there and said, we belong, and we're going to show you that we fit right into this space. And, you know, all of that meant so much to me because, to be honest, I was suffering from a bit of sport fatigue in that, you know, I love sport, but for 20 years I didn't see much change for women in sport. On and off the field, in the commentary box, around the boardroom table, it was all a bit too slow. And I was getting frustrated, and I was feeling a bit battle-weary. So in amongst all of this football stuff were my own feelings as well, that, you know, things were going to change for my people, for women who cover sport. There would be more opportunities. You know, we would be respected more. We would be able to find our voice as well. So I couldn't separate the two. It was personal and it was political.
How did you get to the game that night?
I took a cab. I got a cab that night, running horribly late, sort of trying to balance motherhood and work, and as usual I found myself scrambling towards, you know, late afternoon. Jumped in a cab, and I remember, I had to be there quite a bit earlier because I was preparing for the function. So I didn't get caught up in the kind of traffic that other people did a little bit later. But I still saw a lot of people walking. The march was on, that beautiful feeling of people marching to a football ground. And when I was in that taxi, madly looking at my notes for the night, I also thought, oh, would it be nice to be marching with everyone else rather than stuck, you know, in a taxi on my own, you know, preparing to work. But it was great. It was great to see that it, there was a movement happening, and just people, you know, gathering friends and family and meeting at certain places, and, you know, the way it should be. It was a throwback to the way it was. People walking en masse to the football and feeling a sense of excitement that something special was brewing and something amazing was about to happen. So, you know, I got there and ran from the taxi to where I was meeting people and got stuck into it. And I remember towards the end of my presentation, somebody slipped me a note with the crowd figure. So in my summary, I was told to give the crowd figure. And at that point, it was 10 to 12,000 and rising. So, you know, it didn't tell us what was about to happen. It told us that, yep, we've got some good numbers. We're still, you know, 45 minutes to an hour before game time. There's a crowd building. It's a nice crowd. But it certainly didn't flag what was about to happen, and that a lot of people came late. And a lot of people just couldn't get in.
After you'd done your official function MC stuff, where were you sitting? Where did you watch the game from?
Well, so we were in that room with the glass doors or windows looking out onto the ground, and there's a balcony there. Balcony of sorts, anyway. So we, as soon as it was done, we spilled out onto the balcony, and the Governor of Victoria, Linda Desso, was there, and Sam Mostyn, and Debbie Lee, and others. And I stood in amongst all of these great women and had that experience. And Nicole, my business partner, was there as well, and we were sort of hugging and tearing up and... yeah, so we were in kind of the section where the dignitaries and invited guests were, but it wasn't like behind the glass, removed from it all. We were out there in the open. It was such a beautiful night. The weather was superb, and I had a really good view, you know, a fantastic view out to the ground down one end, but looking out at the crowd. And we were standing shoulder to shoulder, so for the national anthem and for all those poignant moments leading up to the bounce, I was with a crowd of people who really cared. I mean, everyone there cared, but these people had invested a lot over decades to get to this point. So I feel privileged and blessed to have been standing amongst them, because, you know, people sometimes describe me as a trailblazer. But, you know, there are women who came before me and who worked much harder in women's football to make this happen. So I was rubbing shoulders with them, feeling their emotion. My heart was racing. I was excited because we, you know, had done a documentary already in the lead up to AFLW, and Stephanie Chiocci, the captain of Collingwood, and Moana Hope featured in our documentary. So, you know, there they were on the ground, which made me, I guess, I was barracking for those two women because I knew them. Weird, you don't have to feel that sort of way about Collingwood, but anyway, AFLW did some strange things to me, clearly. But just wanting them to do really well, you know, and we got to know both families really well. So I was feeling all of their nerves, all their nervous energy, all their emotions. So the night had everything and more. And if I could just bottle that feeling, you know, I would be a very happy woman, because, you know, it was just itself, you know, the game itself produced the first heroine of the competition in Darcy Vesio. She made the night her own, didn't she, with her heroics, and that was fabulous to watch, because she's another great woman in the sport. There are many of them and so many good stories, but I'm particularly fond of Darcy, and I like the way that she talks about the big picture of AFLW and what it means and how it's about more than football. So to see her turn it on was just magnificent.
What was the atmosphere like that night? You're sitting in Icon Park or standing in Icon Park with 25,000 other people watching the first ever AFLW game. How would you describe the atmosphere?
There was just so much love. There was a lot of love in that stadium. And there were lots of families and lots of kids and girls who had made an effort to get a number of one of their female players on the back of their jumpers. You know, it just felt like a warm, friendly, excited place to be. And there were lots of men there as well. And it just felt like we were all supporting something, you know, more than just Carlton and Collingwood. And leading up to it, I started to wonder, is it just me who's feeling like this? And, you know, last thing I wanted to do was transfer all of my stuff onto other people. I wanted people to genuinely feel what I was feeling. So mine was 20 years of fighting for equality in sport. So all of those emotions, as I said, were wrapped up in that night. But I got a sense on the night that everyone there got it. You know, I didn't have to bang on about it. Everyone got it. Not just the trailblazers who were standing around me, but that the sea of people were there to watch history in the making. And they were there for more than Collingwood and Carlton reasons. You know, and of course, there were people, some people, football is only football and it's about winning and where you're positioned on the ladder. I get that for some people it'll only ever be that. But I felt like on that night, because it was the inaugural night, that sense of history, that sense of occasion, the weight of it all was felt by many, many people in the ground. And that made it extra special.
What do you remember about the game? Do you have many memories of the game?
I remember Darcy Vesio. I remember barracking hard for Moana Hope to score a bag of goals. I cheering for her and being down one end of the ground. I got to see her, you know, in the goal square for a couple of quarters and yelling and supporting the women. I remember feeling, at halftime, you know, what can Collingwood do? I wonder what the coach is saying, all that sort of stuff. I mean, a lot of the stuff that goes through my head when I watch men's football, you know, I wonder what the coach is saying. How's he going to try and motivate these players? I remember thinking, I hope the occasion hasn't got the better of them, but I think it may have. And then thinking, well, it's hardly surprising. If they were feeling half of what I was feeling, it would be really hard to perform at your best because, you know, this was the biggest stage they'd played on. I mean, it was, yeah. So, look, I remember towards the end, you know, wanting it to be closer than it was. And I just looked around at, you know, the faces around me just to see everyone else's reaction to it. And, you know, I was left with an overriding feeling of satisfaction that, yeah, this game had delivered. And, you know, I guess the fighter in me thought, well, it's just a giant up yours to those who doubt women and doubted whether these players would be entertaining enough. And throughout history, women have been undervalued in so many parts of life, and sport is no exception. You know, it's the same. And that, I guess, is what I loved about the most, is that, you know, this struggle for equality unites women globally. And I was lucky enough to do some podcasts to other parts of the world about AFLW. And, you know, in Ireland and in the States, they got it, because they may not understand the sport itself and all the tricky rules and interpretations, but they certainly got the history-making component of it, and the struggle for equality, and the, you know, that thing that unites all women. And that was beautiful, to be able to have those conversations with other people about the cultural side of it, so not just the football. So I left that night feeling deeply satisfied, happy. My first documentary was on air that night, and so Nicole and I went back to our office in Windsor. We opened a bottle of sparkling and put our feet up and just, you know, had a private party for two. We'd made it, and the women had as well. So it was, for me, it's as good as it gets.
When you reflect on that first game, you've said a couple of times that it was bigger than football, it was more than football. So when you reflect on it, what does it mean to you?
Well, it meant gender equality in sport. You know, this thing that really hadn't been talked about much, equality in sport, was not a big conversation throughout most of my career. I was talking about it, but I worked with mainly men. So there were lots of blank expressions whenever I mentioned, you know, why weren't we covering this? Do you think we should look at covering more women's sport? How about that performance that really should have led the news bulletin that night and not sort of been buried at the end, or indeed dropped off the edge of the bulletin? So all these conversations I had, I didn't really find them satisfying. And really, I guess for men in sport, I put myself in their shoes. You know, why would they care about, you know, a feminist analysis of sport? Because the red carpet had been rolled out for them. You know, sport has historically been skewed in favour of men. Since ancient Greek times, sport and masculinity have been bedfellows. So, you know, that was the same in the media. So these men didn't need to have these conversations that I was having, because they were the lucky ones. They, you know, they had this birthright to cover sport, and there was an assumption that they would know more about sport than the woman standing next to them. So for me, it that night represented a victory for gender equality in sport. And, you know, it also was the beginnings of a movement. And I've had these conversations with other sports, and, you know, in sports like basketball and netball, women have performed so incredibly well on the world stage, but they've been doing that for a while. And why this feels different, because it was the beginning for women in the AFL. Yes, they'd played beforehand, but not at this level. So that's why it feels like a movement and something much bigger than sport. So I left feeling just so happy. And I don't know whether smug's the word. Smug might be a little bit harsh, but I felt pretty self-satisfied that it was a good, you know, a good show, and it may have won over a few critics that night. So look, it meant a lot to me, and as I said, I couldn't separate my own struggle in sport from it. So you know, it was important. It was emotional. And it was an incredibly powerful night.
What are you looking forward to for next year, season two of AFLW?
Oh, we get to do it all again. Fabulous. And my people out there who know a lot more about women's football than I do, I mean, I'm starting to learn a lot more, but, you know, I'm told by those who coach and who are connected to the grassroots of this great sport that, you know, the talent out there is better. It's going to get better. There are, you know, girls playing Auskick now who will have the pathway ahead of them. They won't have to stop and play other sports and get back on. So these players are, of course, going to be more skillful, and I can't wait to see how the sport grows and how the women really take ownership of it. It's going to be fantastic. In season two, I've got my, you know, stable of players who have become friends, so I'll be watching them very closely. I'm really excited about my team, the Adelaide Crows, and I'll be hoping, of course, that they go back-to-back. And I, you know, just seeing how the next wave of draftees perform, you know, I'm very excited about watching Isabel Huntington and Monique Conti and others, these players that are incredibly, incredibly talented. So there's a lot to look forward to. And I think the AFL has mostly got it right with this competition. I think it needs to grow in a sustainable way. So I'm okay with the same number of teams. I'm okay with the competition being short to begin with and to stand alone away from men's football, men's AFL. I like that. I think we've got some improvements, you know, in terms of pay and conditions, and that will come. But I'm wildly excited about it. I've missed it. I've really missed it, and I know the players have too. So it'll be good, and it'll be good to see those teams that underperformed in season one, like Collingwood and the Western Bulldogs. It'll be good to see how they perform this time around. And the Bulldogs have recruited really well, you know, with their picks. And I'll be watching a lot of it. I'll be going to a lot of games, and you know, I might even try and squeeze out another documentary.
I was actually going to ask that. Perhaps you might be able to do AFLW season two doco. I'm sure there would be a lot of people that would be happy to have a follow up of Heroes. I certainly would be.
I would love to do it. You know, and this rise of women in sport, in sort of traditionally masculine sport, has been really good for me as well. Like, obviously, I will never be a great player, but off the field, it's allowed me to work on projects that reflect my values, that reflect who I am. So, you know, it's a beautiful place to be. It's taken 20 years to get to this point, but it's nice to be able to work on projects that that are uplifting and empowering, and that do something about fixing the uneven sporting landscape in this country. So another documentary about AFLW would be wonderful. I have a few ideas. So, you know, as of next week, I'll be turning my attention to that, because I think there are so many great stories to tell, and you know, I want to be the one doing it. So I'm really hoping there'll be more documentaries, not just about women's football, but about the rise of women in sport, you know, across the board.
Is there a favourite moment from that night that has really stayed with you?
I guess it's the beginning of the match. You know, it was the moment that the siren sounded to start this new competition. That'll take some beating for me. The roar of the crowd and to be standing there watching a moment in history, in our nation's sporting history and general history, you know, cultural history. It was a really powerful moment for me. So, yeah, that'll be pretty hard to top. I think, you know, the intensity of the first 5 minutes as well. I mean, it was something to behold. These women had waited a long time, and they were not holding back, and you know, nor should they. It was great, and and I think as well, just the end of it, and the celebrations, and the players signing autographs and connecting with their fans. That was also really moving.
Lots of really wonderful memories.
So many, yeah, so many. And, you know, I don't even think I need to bottle that feeling, because I think that feeling, I'm always going to have it. It's going to stay with me. It's going to stay with me forever. And, you know, I just can't wait to experience the joy of season two. And the other thing in the first season was, you know, the rise of the underdogs. You know, no one outside of the Adelaide Football Club gave the Crows any chance of playing off in a grand final. And Brisbane, the same. I mean, it was just dramatic. And for the final season to come down to, you know, a couple of teams vying for that second grand final spot with Adelaide and Melbourne, I mean, it was really pulsating stuff. And maybe there's some sort of divine thing going on that, you know, I wanted AFLW to work so much, and I felt like it was such a powerful thing for our country. And, you know, and my team won it. I feel like everything just worked out beautifully for me, which is nice, because there have been moments over the course of my career where I've just thought, oh, are we ever going to see some significant change for women in sport? So not only did we see all of that, I got the little bit extra at the end when I went to the Gold Coast and saw my team hold up the Premiership Cup, first one ever. So, you know, that was going to take some beating as well.
A just reward for 20 years of hard work, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds a bit selfish, but, you know, I think there is a bit of that, you know, but I've got so many other people have got more claim to that statement than me, but I did enjoy it, and, you know, and just the stories of, you know, the Sarah Perkins story, overlooked in the draft and then off to Adelaide, a city that she didn't know, and the way that that city embraced her was just beautiful to watch. I think she just about calls herself South Australian now, which I know will upset Victorians, but, you know, her kick, the way she leads so beautifully to the ball, and she also has what a lot of forwards don't have in men's football, is that she also defends really well. She chases hard, she tackles. She's a complete forward, and I enjoyed watching her play. I really did. And Erin Phillips, what a superstar. So, look, if season two replicates season one, well, I'm in for another fabulous summer.
You sure are. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing your stories and memories with me and with this project.
It's been my absolute pleasure, Kirby. It's great. I can talk about this topic underwater. I just love it. it's become my specialist subject, as my partner says. You start talking to Ange about AFLW and she will not shut up. So, really happy to talk to you.